Hi. Thank you, Jan. Hi, I'm John. I'm an alcoholic. It's great to be here. Yeah, I'm always a little nervous when I do this, so we'll see what happens. But I really want to thank all of you. First off, Allie loves Snow. She raves about it. It's done wonders for her and her sobriety. And so I appreciate all that you've done for her, because since it's all about me, that kind of trickles into the rest of the family. So thank you for all you've done for me and her son as well. I'm a traditional AA guy, so that's kind of where my story is going to be coming from. No, it's my emotional support down. I'm a transplant to the East Coast of the US. I grew up in the Midwest, outside of St. Louis, Missouri, Southern Illinois. Large family, poor. I mean, we always had food on the table, but we, didn't have extra. And growing up, I had four older brothers. I was the youngest for 10 years. Then my mom divorced, remarried, had a couple more children. So then I was the middle child, and I loved being a big brother. It was great. I still love it. As a kid, I was always really self-conscious, and I still am, for that matter. But I just remember all the time going through school, feeling out of step with the rest of the world. Always like 30 seconds behind, like I'd be sitting there with a group of friends and they'd be talking. Da, 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 da. And I'd sit there wondering, okay, what should I say? I should say something. Let me see. If I say this, it'll sound stupid. Let me do. But by the time I figured out what to say, the conversation had shifted and I would start it all over again. It was just generally uncomfortable. Took my first drink at 13. My older brother was drinking some bourbon in the garage, offered me some. I drank it. Drank some more, and then woke up the next morning with a pounding headache and vomit all over the bed. And it's not like I said, "Oh, I'm never doing that again." And it's not like I said, "Oh, wow, I can't wait to do that again." It was just like, okay, whatever. Fairly soon after that, I discovered weed, and so I smoked a whole lot of pot during my teenage years, and then kind of drank off and on. Always, a little, always self-conscious. There came a point where I stopped doing everything and was just dry. Went to college, and in college, I started drinking again. And it was there that the magic happened, that I suddenly did feel like I was in sync with the rest of the world. I did feel like I knew what to say. I did feel like I was a normal person, and I realized that I had found a secret to how to be comfortable. It was like, oh shit, this is what I'm supposed to feel like. And as a fairly smart guy, very logical guy, I stayed drunk for the next 18 years. And, for a while it was good. I graduated college drunk. I went to graduate school drunk. I got a PhD drunk. Met a young woman. We got pregnant drunk. Had a child drunk. That's my older son, Thomas. Met Allie drunk. Divorced my wife, married Allie drunk. We had a child drunk. Just everything drunk. And along the way, I mean, I had a good job. I had some nice promotions. Things were working out pretty well. And, I knew that I drank differently than other people, but I figured, to me, as always, kind of a skinny, scrawny kid, it was my own little inner toughness, like, oh, anybody can get a PhD, I can do it drunk, but somewhere along the way, after Sebastian was born, somehow the good times ended, and the that alcoholic gloom settled in. And over the next, 6-ish, 5, 6 years, things got really, really dark and really, really ugly. As I was unable to get to work, so did a whole lot of lying to keep my job. I turned really, really mean. Chased Allie out of the house and then was mad at her for not being home, and just life was a just a relentless shit show. It was just really bad. Eventually, back in 2004, my older son was visiting for the weekend, and it was time to drive him back to his mom's house. She lived about 60 miles away. So I was pretty loaded, packed the boys up in the car, drove from Connecticut over to Rhode Island, got stopped along the way, DUI. The Allie was drunk at home, so they couldn't like bring our son back home. So my ex-wife kept my son for the night, and it was a holiday weekend. And so the rule in Connecticut was that when this kind of thing happened, the child went onto a 3-day hold where he spent one day with my ex-wife and then spent a day and a half with a foster parent. And so the state was now involved in the family. We were assigned a social worker. My mother had to come live with us because we needed supervision. My lawyer told me to go to AA meetings. And I should say I had Allie's the more adventurous person here in the marriage. I'm kind of a turtle. And so she had gone to AA a few times. And so at this point I went with her. And it was nice because people were talking about loneliness and despair, and they were speaking my language. And then they talked about the solution being God, and I, it was like, oh, fuck, okay, this isn't gonna work. So, as soon as possible, after the court kind of got off our backs, I started drinking again. We still had a social worker who would come to visit, and it was always dumb because she would tell us when she was coming, so we just didn't drink until she left. But as a drunk, I'm basically stupid and eventually will make a stupid mistake. And so one morning I forgot that I had scheduled a visit. She showed up. We were in the middle of a bender, had been drunk for a couple of days. She knocked on the door, just didn't open the door. But our door, you could look in, and she saw empties all over the place, empty wine bottles. So she left, came back She came back a couple days later while we were still on this bender. And this time, she saw Sebastian, our 4-year-old son, running around the house, and nobody answered the door. So she went and got a state trooper, got us arrested, had us arrested. And so sitting in jail that night, that was the night that I really gave up, because I knew this was going to happen. This For years, I just knew the way we drank, Sebastian was going to be gone. And now he was gone. And I was sitting in jail talking to a different social worker, and she was saying, Mr. Peterson, you don't understand. This is not a 3-day hold. Your son is not coming back. And that's when I knew the jig was up. A friend bailed us out. This was a Friday. We didn't know where Sebastian was. It was the weekend. They gave us a phone number. Nobody answered, of course. The house was We had a house full of booze, so the only solution at the that time was to keep drinking. So finished what we had in the house. And then on Monday, which was February the 7th of 2005, that was my first sober day. I trudged back to an AA meeting, which, as luck would have it, was just next door to our house. And people said, they said, "Welcome back, John." And nobody said, "Hey, dumbass, what'd we tell you that things were going to get worse?" They just said, "Welcome back. Glad you're here." And that night, I was talking to this fella who became my sponsor, and I was telling him, the state has Sebastian. I don't know what's going to happen with my job. Allie and I are having a lot of trouble." And he said, "John, the only problem you have right now is the next drink. So let's focus on that and see what happens with the rest." And that was really helpful to kind of bring everything back to the moment and, jog me to perspective. Because, it's almost 20 years later, and my number one problem is still the next drink. A lot of other things are situations, but if I start drinking again, I know what's going to happen. We had to we well we didn't have to, but we signed custody of our son over to my parents. They live in the middle of in the Midwest, 1500 miles away from us. He did his kindergarten year with my parents. We would go out and visit every month. My parents are hoarders. Their house is a mess, full of cat shit, piled up with stuff, very messy. It's not a good environment, but they kept Sebastian alive when we needed them. Eventually, stayed sober, went to AA a lot. It was, in a way, it was nice to have Sebastian gone. Not nice, but it was an opportunity to focus on sobriety without having to focus on a damaged, emotionally abused child. So when he did come back home, both of us were in a better spot, better able to handle him. I did all the AA things you're supposed to do. I got a sponsor. I went to a lot of meetings. I heard things that I didn't know about. I learned about a whole new way of life. I heard useful things: fall down 100 times, get up 101. My first sponsor, he once told me he knew that I was a catastrophizer, and he said, "John, when gratitude comes, just let it come. Don't question it, just appreciate it." I went through the steps. I learned about fear. I learned about a more spiritual way of life. And the one that I learned about, all the God stuff still, made my shoulders tense up and stuff. But the message I got was take what you need, leave the rest, and find your own path. And so, for me, spirituality just meant feeling connected to other people, feeling connected to the world. And alcohol definitely took all that away, because for years when I was drinking, there was no connection. It was just me and booze. And as a, somewhat autistic person, connections are very important, but they're always tenuous. They come and go. But, I learned, so there was this, I learned that one of the most spiritual things I can do to create a connection with somebody is to ask for help. I learned, or maybe I didn't learn, but it's my opinion that I'm afraid of a lot of things, and for my whole life, I would, I would be afraid. So my instinct was either to hide or to run. Hiding usually meant blaming others for how I'm feeling, and but the spiritual approach to fear that I try to do now is, instead of handling it myself, is to open up and tell somebody that I need some help. I learned that everything I thought about the world and human relationships were wrong. They were things that I had started telling myself when I was a child, and they didn't really work anymore. I thought that love and marriage meant that we knew each other's buttons, and so we tiptoed around them. I found that, drinking and being very mad at each other, and knowing what those buttons were, it was more like, "Here's the button, motherfucker. Oh yeah, well, fuck you." But in AA, I learned that, nobody pushes my buttons. They might remind me that the buttons are there, but I push it myself. And so I have to try to do things differently, which is not easy. There's something I wanted to say, but it's completely lost it. So sorry, because that was probably one of the most important things. But maybe next time. But anyway, the oh, I remember. Drinking together, Allie and I were really mad at each other for a long time. And my sponsor, when we were at our very worst and very close to divorce, he would always he was a really good sponsor. When I wanted to complain to him about Allie, he would always say, "John, if you want a marriage counselor, get a marriage. If you want marriage counseling, go get a marriage counselor. We're not going to talk about problems. We're going to talk about solutions." And the solution he always told me was, no matter what's going on, the solution is more love. Just, focus on the fact that when you, John, were at your worst, there were people who opened themselves up to you and said, "John, we accept you, we love you." And so, try to pass some of that to other people, especially the ones you're mad at. And it's not easy. It wasn't easy, but we're not on the verge of divorce anymore. Allie is now my very best friend, and To me, that's a miracle because there was a long time when I really wanted to kill her. I mean, seriously, I wanted to kill her. I thought about smothering her with a pillow many, many nights. But life is good now. Life is really good because I don't drink. I get help from people who teach me how to not drink. So yeah, I really, really love being sober. I had no idea what I was getting into when I started drinking, and when I stopped drinking, I had no idea what I was getting into either. And what I seem to have gotten into is a life where there's more acceptance and more forgiveness and more love than I ever thought possible. And, if I stick with sobriety and stick with, a program and stick with sober people, I can continue to be a part of this kind of life. And so yeah, it's great to be here with you all. I'm gonna stop talking, and I never know how to end, so that's the end.